Now live from EverBank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, Mike Dempsey.
Oh, that's right, flying solo today. Happy Monday, everybody. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Speculation has it, Fat Tony, maybe a little down in the dumps after the Braves officially decided that they're not going to try to compete in 2015.
Already given up.
Closer.
Already given up.
Well, he did just, you know, he's a little depressed. I know he loves watching his Braves day in, day out, Tyler, throughout the baseball season. And they quit before it started, and I'm thinking that's why he's not here with us today. Note, I'm not reporting that that's why he's not here today. That's just speculation on my part, Tyler. And the difference between speculation and reporting, we'll get into that today. Coming up on Jaguars Today. Hope everybody had a nice Easter weekend. First time since Colin was born that we didn't do Easter baskets. He didn't seem disappointed. He was okay with it. I was disappointed when I wasn't getting Easter baskets when I turned 16 years old, man. It was like a free basket of candy. I don't know.
Hey, at least he's not afraid of the Easter bunny like Hacker. He's not afraid of him.
Is Hacker afraid of the Easter bunny?
Oh, yeah. You didn't hear that?
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. 100% serious.
I was unaware.
Does that surprise you?
I'm not surprised. No, it doesn't surprise me in the least, but certainly wasn't aware of the fact that he's afraid of the Easter bunny. Actually, no Easter egg hunt in the backyard. We do that every year. It kind of, you know, this nasty weather out yesterday, although we did go to the beach. My sister's in town with her family, and despite the fact that it was raining, they don't have too many beautiful beaches in Shreveport, Louisiana, to take in. So we were at the beach even with the rain falling on us yesterday, opening day for Major League Baseball, most of Major League Baseball. Great park your team has, Tyler. We talked about that a little bit last week. The Cubs doing their best to move up to, I don't know, low double A level, accommodations in the Windy City. You know, very, very impressive, what they had going on there. You've got 2 hours or roughly maybe 3 hours to sign up if you haven't. For our FanDuel Baseball League, I'm going to donate my $5 to it because I'm not winning. I guarantee you that. I do not follow it day in, day out enough to compete in fantasy baseball, but I can play because it's cheap, it's fun, and it's just one day with FanDuel.com. So if you are a FanDuel.com user, go to there and just search for my name. There's a league, $5 entry fee. It's capped at 50 people, and it'll start when the games start today, and it's only good for today. It just runs through today. And you can win a little bit of cash. And if you're not a FanDuel user, you can go to FanDuel.com, use promo code Mike, and get a sign-up bonus up to $200. Okay, anniversaries. Well, tomorrow, we mentioned it last week, is the one-year anniversary of Jaguars Today. We started on April 7th. So I'm working on getting Augusta Greenskeeper Lauren Brooks in. It's going to be tough because it's Masters Week. But nonetheless, we're going to see if she can join us in studio tomorrow for a little Jaguars Today reunion with a couple of other special guests along the way as well. But that's tomorrow. Today's my 25th anniversary, Tyler.
Congratulations.
Not wedding anniversary,
wow.
But, well, thank you.
You don't see too many people married that long anymore. Congratulations.
Well, we're not married. We're not married that long. We are married, but we haven't been married that long. It's the 25th anniversary of when we started dating.
Oh, first kiss, okay.
My wife and I, 25 years ago. And we've always celebrated that on April 6th, more so really than our own wedding anniversary. So I know my wife's working right now. She's not listening. But happy anniversary nonetheless to my beautiful bride of many years and my girl, my main squeeze of a quarter century. Now, it makes me feel like an old dude, but I hope I get 25 more at least. Today, we're going to get into a little bit about Mercedes Lewis, talking about speculation versus reporting. You know, Ryan O'Halloran was on here, and I'm not quoting him directly when he was on here last week, but said something to the effect of Mercedes is going to be traded. Mercedes won't be on this football team. They're not going to open in the two tight end set. If they do, it won't be Julius Thomas and Mercedes Lewis on the field. He feels that Mercedes Lewis will be traded. There's a difference between feeling that and making an educated guess, and I'm not using the word guess derogatorily. You know, Ryan's a good reporter, but he's not reporting this as fact that Dave Caldwell is actively shopping Mercedes Lewis. He may, in fact, be at least listening, making a call. I don't know. We don't know. He shouldn't tell us that kind of thing most of the time, at least, while it's still in the activity stages, but I think Ryan's trying to put the pieces together and saying, look, big cap number. We know it's at $6.65 million, and the production, or lack of it, really, that you've gotten from Mercedes Lewis over the last couple of years doesn't add up. He's missed 13 games over the last 2 years. He's had, I think, 43 receptions in that period of time. He's been a pretty good, you know, red zone threat in the limited amount of time he played. In 8 games last year, scored 4 touchdowns. But you got Julius Thomas now to come in and, you know, take care of that, hopefully. I mean, that's what you're paying him the big money for. Not that you can't have more than one guy that can succeed at the position. But then, you know, Gene Fournette writes in his column over the weekend, he said if Eugene Monroe, left tackle Eugene Monroe, could fetch a 4th and 5th round draft pick from the Baltimore Ravens in a trade, shouldn't the Jaguars be able to land one late round choice from somebody for tight end Mercedes Lewis? Well, I think he's probably right. There's probably a team out there, particularly if the Jags were to eat some of the money that they owe him this year, as Ryan O'Halloran suggested last week. Maybe they do a deal like was done with Deshaun Goltz, and they convert some of his salary into a bonus. Therefore, the team that takes him on isn't going to have to pay him $6.65 million. But Gene puts that out there. I think, you know, look, it's in the air. But Gene's not saying they're shopping him hoping to get a late-round pick. That's not the way it reads anyway. Yet, Pro Football Talk picks it up based on those two reports. Ryan, not just on the show, but also then in the Times Union, talked about the potential for the Jags, and if the Jags were to do it, doing a deal like that where they could convert some of that salary to bonus money. And then the headline on Pro Football Talk is Jags trying to trade Mercedes Lewis. Well, that's not what's being reported, and they cite these two reports. And that's not what's being reported. Now, you can say, well, I think Mercedes Lewis will get traded, and he may end up getting traded before or during or even after the draft, whatever the case may be, as teams tight end situations settle out. But that's not what these guys are saying. They're not saying he's actively on the block. Dave Caldwell's making calls around the National Football League. That's what trying to trade a guy is. You're always going to listen when somebody calls. You'd listen to a call about Blake Bortles. Heck, if the Packers called up and said, I'll give you Randall Cobb and Aaron Rodgers for Blake Bortles, you'd do it, right? It doesn't mean Blake Bortles is on the trading block. Okay, it doesn't mean they're trying to trade him. You'd listen to a call about anybody. You'd be a fool not to, because you don't know when a team is going to overpay for somebody, even if you value that guy highly. There's a price on J.J. Watt, right? I mean, there's a price. I don't know what it would be. It would be astronomical, but there's a price that would pry him away from the Houston Texans, I'm quite sure. Probably a price that nobody would be willing to pay. That's fine. Doesn't mean that they're trying to shop that guy. You're always going to listen to offers. Trying to trade a guy means you're, to me, actively calling around, testing the waters. Hey, you interested? If so, what are you willing to give? Maybe that's going on, but that's not what this reporting is saying. So I just want to be a little bit careful, because we're going to talk about Mercedes today, but I don't want to give you the perception, and I'm telling you, that Dave Caldwell is on the phone calling around the league. And someone, I guarantee you, just heard me say that right now and said, Mike said Dave Caldwell is calling around the league to remove Mercedes Lewis. No, I didn't say that. Got to be very careful about how you interpret what is said, what is written. At least I feel you need to be, because people are going to misconstrue it very easily. But today we're going to talk about Mercedes. If, in fact, the Jags were to deal him, what do you think is fair compensation coming back? Because think about this. In a scenario where, let's say the Jags eat $3 million of what he's owed. Because if you trade him, you trade the contract with him. Okay? If, let's say the Jags pay him $3 million, and that means the team acquiring him has him on a 1-year deal, $3.35 million for this year. Maybe they sign him to an extension. What are they going to give up? Are they going to give you a 7th-round pick? Well, is it worth a 7th-round pick to eat up $3 million of your cap space? Well, you say, well, they've got plenty of cap space. Yeah, but this cap space just doesn't apply to this year. You can roll it over, and you're always projecting ahead. When is X player going to come up for a contract extension? That cap space next year, bunch of new free agents potentially, and contract extensions hopefully for some young players who earn it on this team. So you have to figure out what is the price point that makes it worthwhile. Now, if you felt that Mercedes Lewis is not going to play for you, if you're Dave Caldwell, at $6.65 million, no matter what, and someone's willing to take the entire contract, well, you take the best offer. You take whatever you can get. If you're only going to, because if you're going to end up releasing him, well, you take something rather than nothing. The question is, if you have to eat some of that money, What is that something worth? And what do you think is fair compensation? That's a Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. What should the Jags get? Not what do you want. Well, I want three first-round picks. Well, we all want something, right, that we're not going to get. What should the Jags get? What would be fair compensation if, in fact, they were to trade Mercedes Lewis? And you think, you say, man, I don't know. Do we want to get rid of this guy? Is he going to provide us, if he's healthy, that big blocking component that Julius Thomas is probably not going to give you that much of? He's not that guy. He's the pass-catching tight end. That's what you're paying him for. You're paying him for offensive numbers, receptions, touchdowns, yards, all that. Move the football. Sure, he's going to be called on to block sometimes, but that's not his forte. That's not why he made the big money in free agency. But Mercedes hasn't stayed healthy, at least the last couple of years. First 7 years of his career, average about 15 and a half games a season. Missed one at the most in any given year. Over the last couple of years, he missed five, then he missed eight last season. Missed half a year. Didn't really factor in offensively for this team. So you say, well, what are they going to miss? Well, probably not much based on recent production. So we'll talk about that a little bit today. Also, Jags draft needs, are they coming into focus a little bit now? Dante Fowler across the board is the popular pick in all the mock drafts out there. But is that a need-based pick or is that a value-based pick? Is that a best player available kind of pick? And are the Jags, what camp are they going to be in? Best available, need, a combination of the two. We'll discuss that a little bit today. Got a couple of guests along from Big Cat Country. Alfie Crow is going to join me in about 25 minutes. We'll talk about all this stuff, Mercedes, where things stand in the draft, who's the most likely and who makes the most sense for Jacksonville in the first round and then beyond. What are the positions that you're going to prioritize? I told you last week we wanted to get Hayes Carline on. Wrote a story about, you know, looking ahead throughout the Jags draft, forecasting their entire draft haul. And he wrote an article about that about a week ago. We'll talk to Hayes from the Florida Times Union coming up at 11:15 this morning about some of the aspects of what he wrote about and just where things stand now. Inside 4 weeks, about 3.5 weeks till round one of the NFL draft up in Chicago. I'm going to the NFL draft. Tell you about that a little bit later on. Actually, I'm going, but I'm not going. I'm going to Chicago, but I'll be outside the draft doing some radio shows. I'll talk about that at the appropriate time. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. If you want to get on board, tweet us at MD_1010XL, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Tyler as well. The Jaguars Today Facebook page open for business. And, of course, 641-1010, the phone number if you'd like to get on board. It's Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here at Everbank Field on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Wild West Guns and Gold brings you Jaguars Today every Monday here. Osher's missing out today. It's his favorite thing. I think it's his favorite part of the week, Wild West Guns and Gold Mondays. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, everything from revolvers to sporting arms and everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the United States of America. That is a guarantee. And as Osher knows, you can even trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. Visit gunsforjacks.com or stop by and see them on Lane Avenue here, South Lane Avenue in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today. 641-1010, our number if you'd like to get in. If you do want to get in early, because we got Alfie Crow in about 15 minutes. We got Hayes Carline a little bit later on. We got the state and football history and the Honda drive around the NFL and all that other stuff. So the time will fly by today, to be sure. Florida Pro Day tomorrow. Dante Fowler will be in the crosshairs. Fowler doing a story with Jenny Ventris, the Monday Morning Quarterback, last week, where he indicated that he has a meeting set up. Meetings set up with the Titans and the Jaguars shortly after. I think he's going to visit with the Jags first and the Titans. Doesn't matter. He's going to meet with both of them this week after his pro day, perhaps even as early as tomorrow. That could be. But in the next few days, the Jags will sit down with Dante Fowler. And look, he makes a lot of sense if you feel like he's the best pass rusher in the draft as a target for the Jags, particularly if Leonard Williams is off the board and a trade market doesn't develop for Marcus Mariota. Then I think there's an extremely high likelihood of Fowler being the pick. I'm not saying it's unlikely or even unrealistic to think he could be in other circumstances, but I don't think Dave Caldwell's going to drop a tier in terms of value and evaluation. I don't know where he's got these guys tiered, and we shouldn't know where they have the players ranked going into the draft. If we know, that means some other GM can know, and they can use that information against them. Maybe give them more or less in a trade, in terms of, or try to trade in front of them, thinking they're going to draft a certain player. So we know they're not going to tell us exactly how they feel about certain guys, but much like teams out there, you'll hear, well, so-and-so, such-and-such a team has 20 first-round grades on players this year. In other words, if you're sitting at 22 and all 20 of those guys come off the board in the first 21 picks, you're much more inclined to trade out of the first round if you're one of those type teams. We don't know who those players would be, but for the Jags, we don't know how many guys they'd grade in the first round, but even if they all have first-round grades, there are tiers within that first round. Obviously, the year Andrew Luck came out, there was more than one player with a first-round grade that year, but Andrew Luck probably towered above all those other guys. There was a considerable margin. You could conceivably have a bigger gap between two guys graded as quote-unquote first-rounders if you think one's an all-timer, potentially, like Andrew Luck seemed to be in the pundits' minds when he came out of Stanford, than you do between a first- and second-round graded player. So if you've got Leonard Williams graded as a 10 out of 10, and you've got Dante Fowler graded as an 8.5 out of 10. I'm just making numbers up here, okay? You don't pass on Leonard Williams, in my opinion, because you have a bigger need at defensive end. Now, I don't know that there's that margin between these players for Dave Caldwell, and maybe positional need factors into your evaluation of them to some degree as well. But I don't think you just skip the best player because you say right now at this moment we have a lot of guys that can play that spot. Well, what you got some Derek Marks coming off the torn ACL, right? You got Tyson Alualu, who's a nice piece, and he's a versatile backup at several positions and could start for you in a pinch and certainly has and played pretty decently last year. He's not a game-changing difference maker. You got Audric, who you spent a lot of money on. Does that mean you don't go, if you feel that Leonard Williams is the best player in the draft, you don't draft that guy if he's clearly, in your mind, the best and he's available to you? I guess time will tell. We don't know, even know if he's going to be available to them or not. Titans could take him. Speaking of the Titans, Stefan Wisniewski, who visited with the Jags last Wednesday, I believe it was, scheduled to meet with them today. So, clearly, his level of interest and the Jags' level of interest at this point don't see eye to eye. We don't even know if they made him an offer, but, they may have been kind of kicking the tires and seeing what he's looking for as far as that goes. The center from the Oakland Raiders is a free agent, only 26 years old. Obviously, Greg Olsen, you would presume, has a lot to say, having coached him for the last couple of years out in, the Bay Area on the West Coast. So, we'll keep an eye on that as far as that goes. Getting back to this Mercedes Lewis thing, if you want to weigh in on that, tweet us or post on the Facebook page. What should the Jags be able to garner for him? Not what do you want. What's your wish list? We all want more than we can get in life and certainly in trades. I do. But some of the ones I see coming in already, a third and a fifth. Whoa. Pump the brakes really hard on that. Keep in mind, when the Jags drafted or traded Eugene Monroe a couple years ago to Baltimore, which, by the way, the Ravens a very likely candidate, as Ryan O'Halloran pointed out last week, and it makes logical sense. We'll get to in terms of having a market for Mercedes Lewis out there. But when they traded Eugene Monroe, they got a fourth and a fifth rounder for him. At the time, he's in his mid-20s. He's an offensive tackle with left tackle starting experience since he's been in the league. Wasn't the best, but he wasn't the worst in the league at that position. And if you think the Jags are getting more for Mercedes Lewis with 1 year left on his deal as a 31-year-old tight end who's had one double-digit touchdown season, that gets further and further in the rear view as time goes by, I'd be shocked if they could get a fourth-round pick straight up, never mind a third and a fifth, for Mercedes Lewis. That's my thought on it. What do you think they should get? Well, you let us know. And we'll get to that a little bit later on the show. Let's get our buddy Christoph up from merry old England calling in this morning on Jaguars Today. What's up, Christoph? How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much, Mike. Yourself?
Doing great, man. Doing great. And just because you think Lord of the Rings and that trilogy is that I'm missing out by not watching it does not endanger you from getting blocked on Twitter from me. You have a complete misconception of how I deal with blocking people on Twitter.
Oh, that's good to know. We can argue about something else then later.
So what's up?
Basically, I was just wondering, there's all this talk of saying that Leonard Williams is really good against the run, and he's really good against the pass on pass rushing and run block, run stuffing. So I have a question to ask because I personally don't check into that much college football stuff. So I was just wondering, they say that Dante Fowler Jr. is a really good pass rusher, but how good is he against the run? Like, is he...
Not... Right, I got you. He's certainly not in Leonard Williams' category. I've read different reports on Dante Fowler in terms of his proficiency against the run. I've heard some people suggest that he's really strong at the point of attack and can chase plays down laterally as well. I've heard other people say that he gets washed out a lot by teams that run power at him with a fullback and can get neutralized quite a bit. Keep in mind, most pass rushing defensive ends, their forte is not going to be stopping the run. If you can find a guy like J.J. Watt who's all around great at everything, well, that's why those guys are all pros every year. Dante Fowler's got some pretty good size. I think he's probably decent enough at stopping the run, but you're not going to really, that's not his primary role if he comes here. Because you're going to have a lot of beef up front. In a healthy, perfect world for the Jags, you're going to have Roy Miller, Derek Marks, Jared Odrick, Manning, three of those four defensive line spots. You got Tyson Alualu. You got Ziggy Hood. You got big bodies that you can rotate in there. They've got enough run stoppers from that standpoint. And I'm not trying to make the case to not draft Leonard Williams. Leonard Williams is a guy who's better at stopping the run, but he's more of a Red Bryant type defensive end, which is why he makes logical sense for this team, but they spent the money on Jared Odrick. But if you're putting aside the composition of the roster, I think Leonard Williams, in my eyes, is a better player all around, more impactful player. He can create more havoc by eating up more guys on the offensive line and thereby allowing other guys to make plays instead of himself necessarily, much like Red Bryant did. Red Bryant's forte wasn't going to be putting up monster sack numbers, but there are very few guys at that size that had that strength that could move as well as Leonard Williams does. He's got the ability to penetrate a little bit as an interior defensive tackle, but that aspect of his game apparently trails behind, you know, just the run stuffing, but he's made a lot of plays. He had 36 and a half tackles for loss in his time at USC, which is a really, really high number. You know, I look at Dante Fowler, and what do you have, like 8.5 sacks last year? And I mean, I'm not saying you have to have monster numbers. A lot of guys, because of the way they're utilized, aren't going to put up the numbers in a certain scheme the way some others might. Just because, you know, Vic Beasley had a ton of sacks. Doesn't mean he's going to come into the league and do the same thing. Maybe Dante Fowler's a better pass rusher when it's all said and done. Look at Jarvis Jones at Georgia. Led the SEC in sacks 2 years in a row, and a lot of people a few years ago were clamoring for him as the best player in the draft. The Jags should go out and draft this guy. And he's basically been an afterthought up to this point with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Still young, but hasn't had that kind of impact. So it's tough sometimes to project, but I think Dante Fowler, I'd be fine with it. I'm not concerned about his ability to stop the run. I'm not concerned about him being worth that pick. I'm just concerned about him being not worth as much as Leonard Williams, potentially, all around. And I get that's where you got to get into the fit for this football team, because they do have a lot of big bodies, and they do have those spots from Roy Miller to the left covered with a lot more depth. When you look at Chris Clemons right now on the right side, what's he got? Maybe another good year you can hope to squeeze out of him here in Jacksonville? That'd be great, right? And then he's aging. He's going to move on. Andre Branch, going into the final year of his contract, has he shown enough to be worthy of an extension here? How do you feel about him? I saw some flashes from him, but he didn't stay healthy last year either. Ryan Davis, good player. I don't know if he's an every down type player. And that's what you'd be looking for in a Dante Fowler, a guy who'd eventually come in and be the guy that he only came off the field when he needed to be spelled a little bit, and a difference maker, cut above everybody else. I think he can be that guy, but is he on a par with USC's Leonard Williams? I think that's the question you got to ask yourself. How far behind is he if he's not on that level? So, you know, look, different ways they could go. They could go the Fowler route, bigger, you know, broader guy who's got pass rush ability, but also going to be a little bit more stout against the run, or maybe they go a Vic Beasley direction, where they go with a guy who's clearly going to come in primarily as a pass rusher early in his career and is going to have to build himself up to be a run stopper on that level and may never be. But that's okay. There are plenty of guys in the league that are primarily pass rushers, and they make an awful lot of money because it's one of the most important jobs you have in the National Football League if you can find that guy on your roster. So, and that factors in as well. Positional importance. If you're going to be a left defensive end who's primarily a hold the point of attack, hold the edge guy in Leonard Williams, and provide pass rush while you can, that ultimately isn't worth as much as, you know, a Robert Quinn who may put up 15 to 18 sacks for you in a given year. But is that what Fowler's going to be? And is Williams just going to be a guy there, or is he going to be a special player that breaks the mold and maybe gives you 8 sacks on top of giving you that Red Bryant presence against the run, enabling things to open up for everybody else? That's a conundrum that you're looking at if you're Dave Caldwell and Marcus Mariota comes off the board at number 2 and you don't get blown away with any trade offers, because personally, that's the ideal. Is moving down, even staying within the top 10, pick up a few extra picks, still get a good pass rusher. Maybe you pass on Williams, but you get X player plus 2 more to offset the difference between Williams and maybe the next several guys down the line. All right, 641-1010 is the number. We'll see if we can squeeze in a few more later on in the show. But coming up next, we got Alfie Crow from Big Cat Country. We'll get into Mercedes Lewis. Should he be moved? Will he be moved? What should you get for him? Where do the Jags stand now? What does Alfie think the Jags' priority should be if it's a Fowler-Williams standoff when the Jags are on the clock coming up on April 30th? Mike Dempsey here, along with Tyler Devitt. It's Jaguars Today, live from Everbank Field here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, Jaguars Today here, 1010XL 92.5 FM. Alfie Crow did not have to wait until today to get his Major League Baseball season started, as the Cardinals, Alfie's team, shut out the Chicago Cubs last night by a 3-0 score. Alfie Crow from Big Cat Country joins us here on Jaguars Today. What's up, Alfie? How are you?
I'm doing well. There's always next year, Cubs fans. Always next year.
No, there's not. There is next year. Yes, there literally will be another year.
A running joke.
I gotcha. Yeah. Look, after 90 odd years, it's time to give it up if you're a Cubs fan. But that's fine. They provide fodder for the rest of us, man. Today we're talking a little bit about Mercedes Lewis, and I think there's a feeling that the Jags would take something for him if they could get something that could help them for him. You're paying $6.65 million right now to a guy who's missed 13 games over the last couple of years, and you just obviously signed your pass-catching tight end in free agency. Doesn't mean they're actively shopping him, Alfie, but I think they'd listen. What would it take for you to move Mercedes Lewis in a draft day kind of deal?
6th-round pick. I mean, I don't think you'll really get much more than that with his salary.
Is that worth it? Is a 6th-round pick worth it? What's the value? Is it just you don't think he's part of the future going forward? You can wipe 6.5 off the books and maybe hit on something. I mean, is there a point where, like, let's say you had to eat some of that salary, as been speculated. Say you had to pay $3 million of it. Is it worth it to pay $3 million for a 6th-round pick, in your opinion?
I guess it depends on how the first 2 days of the draft goes. If you end up taking a tight end in the 3rd round or something, maybe like a Clive Walford, the kid from Miami, sure. But if you don't, and you're just trying to hit on one of those tight ends on day 3, then probably not.
See, I agree with you, and that's the big thing too. Once you move Mercedes Lewis, okay, you get a pick, but you're kind of creating another need for this football team, because I don't think any of the other guys that they have here fill that role that you hope you're going to get out of them as the big physical 6th offensive lineman, so to speak, who can also give you a big target in the red zone. I mean, certainly that's not what Julius Thomas was brought in here to be. He's brought in here to be an offensive weapon. Not that they'll never ask him to block anybody. Do you think that it is likely that the Jags target a tight end at some point in the first, let's say, 4 or 5 rounds?
I think that too is dependent on if they think they can move Mercedes Lewis for a sixth round pick. Yes, if right. they're just going to eat his salary for the final year, which is what I think they should do, then probably not, because it's a pretty weak tight end class.
I agree, and that's what all the pundits say. But you think they should hang on to Mercedes for another year?
I would. I mean, his play has gone down. His blocking is not what it used to be. He doesn't offer as much in the passing game. But he does offer you still. You can do a lot of those two tight end sets. And if they're not going with a fullback this year, which is what it sounds like, you're going to carry four tight ends. You're going to want a blocking tight end. So you can do a lot with him and Julius Thomas on the field at the same time.
It does seem like they're, you know, a team like Baltimore who typically stockpiles picks. They always have a lot of supplemental draft picks. I know you can't move them, but that makes it easier to move your own original selections. They're in great need of a tight end. It does seem like another likely landing spot. They're kind of Jags mid-Atlantic, right, with
right.
Daryl Smith and Eugene Monroe. Maybe Mercedes coming along down there. But I think people do need to. I think you're right. It's something, if you got a fifth, you probably take it in a heartbeat because, you know, you got a fourth and a fifth for a young left tackle. You're not getting anything close to that for Mercedes Lewis at this stage of his career.
No, and you also have to be mindful of the other team's cap number. So if they're pressed against the cap a little bit, the Jags are going to have to agree to pay some of that money, or Lewis is going to have to agree to add another deal. But if you're that team taking him on, do you really want to add another year? So the whole problem is his age, his injury history, and it's kind of a convoluted situation with his contract and cap number.
Alfie Crow here with us from BigCatCountry.com. Alfie, we talked a little bit today about, you know, need versus want or need versus best available in the draft. And Dave Caldwell told me shortly after the first rush of free agency that they really felt like they're in a position now where they can look more best player available, that if they wanted to line up today, they could field a respectable team. There aren't that many gaping holes on this roster right now that you said, man, we have to go out there. Like they felt a few years ago, boy, we got to get a left tackle. We got to get a starting safety. And you maybe elevate a few guys up draft boards, which is a dangerous thing to do. Where do you stand right now if the two quarterbacks come off the board 1-2 on Leonard Williams versus Dante Fowler / Vic Beasley / the edge pass rusher of your choice?
If the quarterbacks go 1-2, I'm picking Vic Beasley because I think that's the perfect marriage of, you know, you get arguably the best pure edge guy and it fills a massive hole. And I think people don't feel like pass rusher is a need because of their sack numbers, but that's a bit of a trick. So any one of those guys would be good, but I think the best usage of the pick, because of what they need is Vic Beasley.
What do you think about Williams as a prospect?
I like him a lot, and had they not signed Jared Odrick, I probably would have a completely different opinion and say to pick Leonard Williams. I think he's kind of, and I hate using the word, he's kind of a safe pick in that I don't necessarily think he'll be bad. It's just you don't know how dominant of a player he's going to be. So you have to kind of weigh that in when you're picking him that high when you have such a glaring need at edge rusher.
Well, I think that's the thing, too. We don't know what Dave Caldwell feels. That's what
right.
the crux of this.
Well,
is.
I'm just looking but if at he evaluates... it as your best pass rusher turns 34, wasn't all
right.
that great in Chris Clemons. And then you have Andre Branch, who's been wildly inconsistent. He's in the final year of his deal. So they did nothing to address that position in free agency. So to me, it kind of screams that's where they're going to look.
And that's a tough position to address in free agency because the good ones typically don't make it out there.
Right. And it's another hard one to find later.
Right. No, absolutely. In this draft, so I get that standpoint. Obviously, an ideal world to me is Williams goes number two. You want an edge pass rusher, but the Jets and the Redskins want to outbid each other, and you only have to fall a handful of spots and
right, that's
pick
the
up.
Perfect.
Who knows? Maybe an extra second, something like that, right?
Right, because you have Beasley, you have Fowler, you have Dupree. So there's a handful of guys, if you slide a couple of spots down, you can still get one of those and they're a good fit. But if the quarterbacks go 1-2, it's going to be a tough decision.
How much do you like Bud Dupree? Because he is all over the board in terms of the mock drafts. The last one I looked at last night, I couldn't even tell you. It might have been Dane Brugler. I think had him at 29 going to Indianapolis. I've seen him as high as right on the borderline of the top 10.
See, I've seen him anywhere from, like, to the Falcons to the Patriots. So he's one of those guys where I think a team is going to fall in love with his athleticism and raw ability and feel like they can coach more out of him. Because he was asked to do a ton at Kentucky. You know, he covered, he stopped the run, he rushed the passer, he did a ton on that defense. So he's a guy, I think it's going to take a team falling in love with him, and I think he'll probably go a lot higher than we anticipate.
What is the percentage, as things stand at this moment, and from what we know, that the Jags take a wide receiver, be it Amari Cooper, Kevin White, anybody else, other than a defensive lineman, presuming they don't trade back?
So if they're at number three.
If they're at three, how shocking would it be to you if they were to select Amari Cooper or Kevin White?
It would be extremely shocking to me because, one, I'm never a fan of picking wide receivers in the top five to begin with. Two, you picked two guys early last year, both who showed a lot of promise. Three, you've kind of emphasized that you really want to upgrade slot wide receiver. And four, it's another deep wide receiver draft.
Right. And the slot angle of it, I understand they want to keep Lee and Robinson on the outside. Obviously, Robinson's going to be on the outside. I think Lee has the ability, potentially, to do both. But if a guy like Philip Dorsett of Miami is sitting there at 36, how much does that intrigue you?
Right. And that's the thing. I look at it as, you know, what's the drop-off from wide receiver at 3 to 36 compared to, say, pass rusher from 3 to 36. And I think pass rusher, there's a clear, you know, gulf of difference in the talent you can get at 3 and 36, whereas wide receiver, sure, Amari Cooper might be a lot better than Dorsett, but Dorsett is probably still going to be a pretty good slot receiver in the NFL. So I don't think the drop-off is as drastic at wide receiver as it is at defensive line.
Alfie Crow, Big Cat Country, here with us for a couple more minutes on Jaguars today. Barring a trade down from the third spot where the Jags accumulate more draft picks, they've got seven as it stands going into the draft. How likely or unlikely is it that if there's someone they really love, that you could see them moving up from 36 into the tail end of the first round as things stand right now?
I would say pretty low. Because while they've addressed a lot of needs, they still need to, you know, get talent. And I don't really know what's going to, you know, heck, if Amari Cooper falls into the 20s, sure. But other than that, I mean, the running backs, there's a couple good running backs you can get later, or you can get at 36 if you want. I don't really necessarily see someone that's going to be worth, you know, moving up. Because you're likely going to have to give up a pick next year or a third rounder and a fourth rounder. So you kind of really limit yourself, and this team still needs to add, you know, talent and depth.
If Gurley and Gordon are off the board, who is your next tier guy, I guess? Who's your favorite guy in the next group?
I'm a big fan of Jay Ajayi, the Boise State running back. He does a little bit of everything well. He doesn't really do anything great, but he's a three-down player out of the gate.
You think Sergio Brown's a likely opening day safety? It's not a great draft class for safeties. And with all the other, we're talking about, you know, got to get an edge rusher, we haven't even talked about linebacker. They might draft a couple of linebackers, running back, slot receiver. There might not be any picks left to grab a safety, and there
right.
might not be any value. How likely is Brown the opening day starter?
I would be shocked if he wasn't. I mean, he didn't get paid a ton, but he got paid, you know, borderline starter money, and he's going against Josh Evans, who's not really that single back safety, and Brown is more of a fit there. So, I mean, there'll definitely be a competition, but I would be shocked if Brown's not your opening day starter there.
All right, 3.5 weeks away. We'll talk to you again before the draft gets here, I'm sure. But I know you'd like Vic Beasley if it goes quarterback, quarterback. Who do you think is the most likely Dave Caldwell selection at 3 if it goes quarterback, quarterback with the first two picks?
You know, it's funny. I don't think it'll be Dante Fowler because everyone has been picking Fowler, so it makes me think that
right.
he's not even going to be the thought. And I keep saying Beasley just because it makes the most sense that he fits that position well. He lined up wide at Clemson. He's a super athlete at the position. What he did at the combine translated on film. And he's got huge upside as well. So for me, I think that fits what they want to do. But I would say either Leonard Williams or Vic Beasley to me make the most sense.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really interesting. And you know what? If Williams is sitting there and he is regarded universally like the draft pundits think of him by the GMs in the league, they might get not the same offer that they get for a quarterback, but they might be a team sitting there just a few spots back that's willing to come up and get Leonard Williams, and the same scenario is in place. If Jackson get an edge rusher and pick up 2 or 3 extra draft picks for their troubles along the way.
Right, exactly. And there's like 3 or 4 guys who they pick there. Cool. I mean, it's going to be hard to mess that pick up, knock on wood.
All right. Alfie Crow, Big Cat Country. Follow him on Twitter, of course, at AlfieBCC. We'll talk to you soon, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thanks for having me.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. On this date in 1997, we bid goodbye to Jack Kent Cook, passed away at the age of 84 years old, and best known probably for his ownership of the Washington Redskins, but was quite the sports entrepreneur. If you think Shad Khan has a lot going on dabbling with the NFL and soccer, well, Cook was into minor league baseball back in the 1950s. In fact, gave Sparky Anderson his first managing job with the Toronto Maple Leafs Baseball Club, applied for U.S. citizenship. He was born in Canada, moved to the United States, bought the Washington Redskins in the early 60s, went on to win 3 Super Bowls with Joe Gibbs at the helm of that team, but also bought the L.A. Lakers in 1965 for a mere $5 million back at the time. Then he bought the L.A. Kings on top of that, was into the United Soccer Association with the Los Angeles Wolves, so best known perhaps again as the Washington Redskins owner, but also as the owner of the L.A. Lakers for quite a while. They reached 7 NBA Finals, winning in 1972, so a champion in both the NBA and the National Football League. Jack Kent Cook passing away on this date in football history at 84 years old in 1997. This date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Their mission, to fabricate and install the highest quality product for you at a competitive price while still providing unsurpassed customer service. Get a professional free estimate at your convenience by calling 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, today is the first day of the NFL offseason programs getting underway, and teams with new head coaches get a head start as the Falcons, Bills, and Jets get underway today, with the 49ers and Raiders starting tomorrow, Bears and Broncos next Monday, and the other 25 NFL franchises, including the Jacksonville Jaguars, start their programs 2 weeks from today, April 20th. And I just mentioned the Jets getting their program started today, and they already have an issue with a player this offseason. It's defensive lineman Muhammad Wilkerson, who is skipping the opening of their offseason program, and NFL insider Jason LaCanfora says he might not be around the camp for a while. Wilkerson is in the final deal of his rookie year. And finally, Vikings running back Adrian Peterson is still awaiting word from the league office, allowing him to officially return to the Vikings. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network says Peterson will meet with league officials this week to discuss a full reinstatement. April 15th marks the first day he would be eligible for a full reinstatement to the Vikings.
All right, people are wondering, where's Fat Tony with the Honda Drive Around the NFL? Fat Tony's got the day off. He hasn't taken many days off, Tyler, since we started this show.
He's a hardworking man.
It's actually a combination. Well, he is. It's a combination of reasons. Tomorrow is the 1-year anniversary of Jaguars today, and we're drinking the Crown Royal straight starting very early in the morning. So I'm sure he is hydrating. Did you see the picture of Golden Tate taking the IV before Matt Stafford's wedding?
I didn't.
You didn't see that?
No.
Apparently, Matt Stafford's getting married, and he had somebody show up that if you wanted to prepare your body for the amount of alcohol you're going to consume was providing IVs to his wedding guests. This is not a joke. This is a true story, which is fine. Look, wow. I don't care. Go nuts at somebody's wedding. You know, it's kind of what you do at the reception, right? You drink a lot of alcohol, open bar, great, fantastic. You got, it's a long off season. Nobody's saying you should be a monk, but I don't know if I want that picture out there if I'm Golden Tate, like, hey, look at me. I drink so much, I need to take an IV before I even have my first sip. I don't know if that's the look you want, but that's what Tony's doing. He's getting the IVs today, and he's also probably getting some antidepressants because the Braves have officially mailed in the season before it even started. So it's a combination of those factors, I think, and you know, just the action-packed two-hour anniversary show tomorrow. Oh, my goodness. It'll be...
We're having Lauren Brooks on tomorrow, well, right?
Perhaps. I mean, I have to confirm that with her today. Her desire is to join us tomorrow in studio. Well, she works. She is the new greenskeeper at Augusta National. And you may have heard they got a little tournament going on this week. So I don't know if she can pull herself away from that duty and join us here on the program. I know what I would find more important, but we'll see where her priorities are, whether or not she's here tomorrow. I think it boils down to that. A couple of tweets I'd like to mention. This one from Wade Kutnick, W. Kutnick on Twitter, says, honestly, does the Gator hate in some of you cause you to sleep on Fowler? Have I said a single thing about Dante Fowler that indicates I think he'd be a bad draft pick for the Jacksonville Jaguars? My only point is, and I don't know what the grade Dave Caldwell would assign to these guys. If you have Leonard Williams significantly graded higher, I'm not taking a guy I've graded lower because he fills a position of need better for me on this football team. Don't turn down an all-timer for a really good player. Nobody's saying Dante Fowler's not a good player. I mean, geez, whatever. People are very sensitive, and that's okay. Also, I mentioned earlier that we didn't do the Easter basket thing this year. Look, my wife didn't feel well this weekend. She was under the weather, had family, and we just didn't get around to doing the Easter basket thing. And I guess once you don't do it, it's kind of retired now. But he said his solution was doing away with the basket and using a new baseball cap to put candy in each year. If there's anything my son could care less about than a new baseball cap, I couldn't think of what it is right now, honestly. You'd think for a kid whose dad talks about sports for a living might have some rooting interest. He's a nice kid, which I know that's hard to believe considering who his father is, but he's a nice kid who, you know, will say he roots for the teams I root for, but truly could care less about what's happening. And you know what? Quite frankly, I'm fine with that. Keep reading your books and getting good grades, and don't be like me and read the box scores, all right, as much. Read more books than box scores, and you're probably off to a good start as far as that goes. So, also, got one in from Joey Kloss a little bit earlier. I mentioned the difference in the reporting by the guys at the Times Union, Gene Furnett, Ryan O'Halloran, or the right, I don't even want to say reporting might be too strong, just their, I think, opinions that Mercedes Lewis could be moved, here's what you might be able to get for him, here's a way to facilitate that deal. And taking that, and there's a story at Pro Football Talk to suggest that, you know, the Jags are shopping Mercedes Lewis. And I think that was a leap of logic that they took, and maybe a leap they shouldn't have taken. Necessarily. Again, maybe they will get something for him. Maybe they won't. Maybe they're going to have a price they say, well, look, we'll take X, and if we don't get that, you know, like Alfie said, he's still got value to this football team in the short term. And made a great point. You seem to be eliminating the fullback from this offense, okay? Brady Ewing, by the way, I don't know if you noticed, he retired over the weekend after the Jags released him. Said, you know what? I feel pretty good considering how much football I've played in my life. Got 3 years in the league. That's 3 years longer than most human beings. I wish him luck, man. I mean, you know, we're seeing more of it. Guys walking away and saying, you know what, maybe I'm not going to be a superstar in this case. I made a little bit of money. I can do something else. It's not worth the risk to my long-term health. Hey, if that's the way you feel, more power to you, man, and best of luck as far as that goes. But the point was, this is part of the issue that people have with Pro Football Talk. My only response to that was, the writer of the story typically doesn't write the headline. And the headline writer took a great liberty, I believe, because if you actually read the story of Pro Football Talk, it's more along the lines of TU writers were suggesting that he could be shopped around. Wasn't a definitive Jags are shopping him, but that headline, if that's what you read, and then you read the story, I think it gives you the impression in the sum total of things that the Jags are actively trying to move Mercedes Lewis. And I don't think that's necessarily the case. But regardless, he said, despite that, he goes, that's fair, but Pro Football Talk still sucks. Hey, that's fine. A lot of you out there feel that way. I'm not among you, but so be it. We're not going to rehash that whole line of thought today. If you want to weigh in on Mercedes Lewis, so if the Jags were to trade him and get draft pick compensation, what should they expect in return for Mercedes Lewis? What would make you happy realistically? I mean, we'd all be happy. Give me 3 first-round picks. Oh, okay, I guess I could get by with that. That's not realistic. So what realistically should they expect, or what would you move him for if you could get it? We'll get into that. We'll ask Hayes Carline that question from the Florida Times Union. He joins us next. Recently wrote a story about the Jags targets perhaps in the later rounds, all throughout the draft. Here's 7 guys, based on the 7 picks they have now, that could reasonably be expected to be available and would fit what the Jags look for and are looking for. And we'll talk to Hayes about where things stand with the Jags, Mercedes Lewis, and the draft coming up and all that. That's next on Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Wild West Guns and Gold Monday continues here. Jaguars Today live from Everbank Field, 3.5 weeks away from the start of the 2015 NFL Draft. Mike Dempsey here with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. We'll get to the fan feedback spotlight coming up momentarily, where we will look at what you would hope the Jags could acquire for Mercedes Lewis if they were, in fact, to make a draft day kind of trade for him, or pre-draft trade for him, as the case may be. But we've got Hayes Carline from the Florida Times Union joining us now. Hayes wrote a story last week that I talked a good bit about, where he projected a potential scenario of all 7 rounds, starting with the Jags drafting Leonard Williams with the 3rd overall pick, and where they could conceivably go from there based on guys he felt they could have on the board that would line up with value and need and all that stuff. And we made it a point to get Hayes on, and he joins us right now on Jaguars Today. Hayes, how are you? Hope you had a nice Easter. What's going on, man?
Oh, it was great, Mike. Hope you did as well, and I appreciate you having me on.
I think the greatest service you may have done for me is helping me learn how to pronounce the UCLA defensive end's last name.
Yeah.
Odighizuwa. I don't know why. I guess I could have bothered to look up some kind of phonetic spelling of that, but everyone's going to, if he does get drafted here, everyone's going to have to take a crash course on that. And the first name, by the way. Next time you might want to mix in the first name, because that's no piece of cake either.
Owamabe. Yeah, I was afraid that may, the desk may not allow both those things in, so I figured I would at least get the last name on there. How fun would it be to listen to Gus Bradley come up with a nickname for Odighizuwa? I'm going with Diggy, but I don't really know.
Yeah, it's got to be I don't know what it would be, but honestly, if that scenario played out though, Hayes, if they knew they could get a guy like that, who a lot of people are projecting to go in the first round, I think it makes it so much easier to draft a Leonard Williams. And I will ask you, as I asked Alfie Crow earlier today, and we've been talking a lot about, if it goes quarterback with the first 2 picks, how confident are you that Leonard Williams will be the selection as opposed to, say, an edge rusher?
I'm pretty confident that he'd be the selection, but I thought Alfie made some really good points on Beasley, and I do think that whether it's Leonard Williams or Fowler or Beasley, that is a tremendous upgrade any way you slice it. So, I think any of those 3 scenarios would be a very good night on April 30th for the Jaguars. But I just feel like Leonard Williams, just because of his ability and his potential of what he can become, and really what he already is in some aspects, I think he would make the most sense. And this is one thing that I noted. And again, it's not so much that they're getting old at the position, but you just have to invest in your defensive line through the draft. And, we understand the reasons why, but Dave Caldwell has yet to use a pick, any of his 18 picks, on an interior defensive lineman. It's just one of those positions where you need to start getting a guy, and this would be a scenario where you're taking Leonard Williams because of his talent, But I do think you can't totally dismiss that there is some need there to go ahead and get a young guy in that you can start developing, who hopefully in 3 years is a, you know, impact, you know, top five defender in the league.
How much does the week 17 injury to Cindric Marks factor in? We all, you know, ACLs are not career enders, and we hope he comes back full strength, but he may not be the Cindric Marks we've come to know over the last couple of years, at least for 2015. So how much does that factor into your thinking with Williams?
It doesn't factor in. I liked him as the pick before the injury, but I do obviously think in the short term, it helps because of his versatility. And again, it's a long season. We don't know how Audric will hold up. I mean, you hope you get 16 starts out of him, but, you want to have, you know, some good depth at that spot. And, you know, Williams would be a guy who can give you some good play early in the interior. And then, you know, as Marks comes back and can get back into his role, then maybe you can, you know, use some sort of a package with Williams, Audric, and Marks, you know, a rotation there where maybe Williams is getting 25 snaps in Marks' spot and maybe another 20 at Audric's. And, you know, I think that's got the potential to be a very difficult thing for offenses to try and guard against.
I should point out we have Hayes Carline of the Florida Times-Union. Hayes was one of the few guys who had Blake Bortles to the Jaguars right before the draft last year in his projection. So I would pay attention to what he has to say here, and we are paying attention. And Hayes, I think you might be a little bit bullish on the Jags' chances of landing Philip Dorsett out of Miami in round three. I think they'd sign up for that in a heartbeat, but really the latest buzz seems to be you wonder if he'll even be around for the 36th pick in the draft.
Yeah, I think he will be, because at the end of the day, I think general managers, it's all kind of about projecting what that guy's going to do. And I think that in this day and age, the first, second round, those kind of receivers, you're looking for an outside guy. And I don't know that Dorsett fits that. So if you're looking for a guy who's specifically going to be in probably in the slot, then I don't know that you take a guy like that in the late first round or even maybe in the second round, because usually teams that need a receiver, you know, they're looking for that perimeter guy that they can put out there. You know, maybe there will be a team that feels like that's where he's best suited. But, you know, I think most people feel like that's not his role. And I think if you're looking for him in the slot, then, you know, there probably may not be a team that wants to invest a first or second round pick, you know, at that kind of player, particularly with the receiver board being as deep as it is again. You know, I think you'd probably be looking for a bigger target and somebody you can play on the perimeter.
As you point out, Dorsett had a nice career overall, but last year particularly, 24.2 yards per catch. So that speed isn't just, you know, for a combine. That is functional speed that he utilized to get behind secondaries last year. And it's pretty depressing, Hayes, when you look at the stat that for the third time since 2006, the Jags' leading receiver had the lowest yardage total of any team's leading receiver in the National Football League. Alan Hearns led the way with 677 yards. You know, most of us here are focused on the defensive end. We saw some mock drafts early on, maybe looking at Amari Cooper, Kevin White for the Jags as a possibility. Is there any credence to that in your mind? Or even if they traded back a few spots and stayed within the top 10, how much more likely does that bring wide receiver into play early on?
I think it would be fairly surprising if they went that route at three. I think there is a scenario in which it could play out, a scenario I don't believe can happen, but until draft night, anything is possible. What happens if, and this is something that I'm going to write about down the road as we get closer, but what's the doomsday scenario for the Jaguars if Winston and Mariota do not go in the top two? What if the draft opens, and again, theoretically, Leonard Williams, Dante Fowler Jr.? You know, now, and then let's say there's not much of a market. Let's say Jameis and Marcus have been grossly overrated by the analysts and the media, and that they don't have the buzz among the 32 GMs that we think they might have. Then at that point, I would take either Beasley or Fowler, whoever fell to three. But at that point, if you're not getting a good trade offer because no one wants to come up to get either quarterback, at that point, what are you doing? maybe at that point you are taking Amari Cooper or Kevin White. Like I said, I would still take the Leo that fell, but, you know, I would understand the reasoning in that instance. But again, I think we're talking about a scenario that's got, you know, a 2% chance of occurring.
I think 2% is about 1.99% high.
You have to be prepared for every scenario.
Understood. I'm not spending a whole lot of time on that particular one. The Bucks are taking a quarterback, and I think it's 97% that it'll be Winston, but if they don't, I can't believe they're passing on QB. But regardless, we won't get sidetracked here. You don't have the Jags in this projection. Oh, look, all you have to work with are 7 picks. I understand, and we don't know if they're going to trade down and accumulate more, and there are a lot of needs you still have to fill, but you don't have the Jags taking a linebacker until round 7. You got Paul Posluszny now, is got quite the injury history he's accumulated in the last year of his deal. You signed Dan Scuda, but, you know, he's been more known for his work on special teams and as a sub-package type player. You're not exactly deep with proven guys in the linebacking core. Could you see them maybe spending an earlier pick or even multiple picks on that position group?
I don't know about multiple, but yeah, I do think there's a scenario in which they would go linebacker earlier, and I think that scenario would occur if Leonard Williams is not the pick at 3. You know, then, you know, if they go Leo there, then I think that bumps everything, you know, up as far as the need. So yeah, I mean, at that point, if they take Fowler or a guy like Beasley at 3, do you come back maybe as early as the 2nd round, depending on what's on the board, and look at linebacker at that spot? I mean, I do think that there is a great range of what they could do at the linebacker spot. In this projection, you know, I felt like they would probably be something that they would add a piece, invest a late round pick in the position, and then, you know, view it as something that they're going to hit hard next off season. But certainly, I think if you told me as of right now that they took a linebacker in the 2nd round, I would not be surprised by that.
There are several, including your cohort, Ryan O'Halloran, who's been beating the table for a running back at 36. Obviously, if the right guy is there, but it looks more and more likely, at least if you believe the pundits, that Gurley and Gordon won't be around after the first 35 picks. So after that, in your scenario, you have him waiting until round 4, taking David Cobb out of Minnesota. Much more likely in your mind that they'd wait till really the mid rounds rather than take a top 40 selection if one of those premier guys is off the board.
I think so. I think that makes the most sense, because there's going to be some incredible talent still on the board in those rounds, and I think the running back pool is pretty deep. So I do think it's a position where you can wait until round 4, and chances are you're still going to have a pretty good player sitting there for you high up in the 4th round. So that's how I see it. I think if Gurley or Gordon were to fall, I think, you know, you're doing cartwheels to turn that pick in. But if those two are gone, then, you know, with what I would think is still going to be on the board at that pick, I don't think I'd go running back there.
I think as you go along in any typical draft, no matter what franchise we're talking about, the later you get, the more a team becomes a need-based kind of situation. How does this guy fit into a particular role on our football team and not necessarily best player available? You know, you can't afford to pass on the true blue chipper regardless of position early, but that differs. But you have it kind of seemingly in your 7 picks spread out, and I could say need, very much sets up that way. What do you think Dave Caldwell is? Is he a need guy? Is he a best player available? Or is he probably, like most, somewhere in between?
I think he's been in survival mode for most of his first 2 drafts, and now he's not in survival mode anymore, as I think he's pretty much, you know, communicated to us. So I think it will be interesting. I think we're going to know a lot more about his draft history once this one is in the books. But yeah, I think it's still fairly need based. It's not maybe 80-20 like it has been, but I still think for the most part this is a 60-40 need draft over best available player draft. But to me, they're lucky in the sense that I think when you look at the overall talent of the draft at the positions that they need the most help at, I think the draft sets up very well for the Jaguars in that regard, really rounds 1 through 7. So I do think that there's going to be a good marriage of both in every situation that they're going to have those 3 days.
What do you think they think about Jeremiah George? Kind of a little bit, not, I don't want to say forgotten man. We don't talk about him much to begin with, but at one point last year, just a circumstance, he really couldn't stay healthy. He looked like he was going to have an opportunity, got hurt. He's really what they've got right now behind Posluszny. Do you think they think he has a future, either as a long-term backup, core backup, or potentially even a starter after Posluszny leaves?
I mean, I think they like him. I think obviously the jury's still out and you'd like to see what he does in OTAs and certainly into camp. I mean, he did flash when he was on the field for those, you know, eight snaps, I guess, before the injury got him. So, I mean, I think if he's your backup, I think you can feel fairly comfortable with that. You know, but again, I think he's such a young guy who hasn't played much that I think you have to see, you know, what kind of a development does he make from his rookie year to his second year. If he makes a little bit of a jump, then great. If he, you know, either regresses or basically stays the same, then obviously I think it becomes more of a critical situation in terms of depth. But, you know, I think he's I will say this. I wouldn't bet against him at this point. Just my gut feeling is that, you know, I think, you know, he's somebody that can play a role on the team this fall.
All right. Finally, we talked a lot today about Mercedes Lewis for a variety of reasons. His name's been out there, and you can make some logical sense that the Jags may be interested in moving him. How likely do you think a trade of Mercedes Lewis is by the end of the draft, and what would be a reasonable expectation of what you'd get back for him?
I do think he'll be traded. I would think it would come the final day of the draft, once teams have kind of reset their draft board and see. Really, it's going to come down to where does Max Williams go, where does Clive Walford go, and maybe to an extent, where does Nick O'Leary go. But if you're a team that feels like you need a tight end and you didn't get one of those guys, you know, then maybe you're looking at unloading a sixth rounder. I mean, we've got, you know, Denver's got 10 picks, Kansas City 10 picks, Baltimore 10 picks, Cincinnati, the Saints and the Patriots have 9 picks. So, I mean, you know, I think the ideal scenario for the Jaguars would be the Patriots call on Saturday. You know, they've got the first pick in the sixth round because of the Logan Mankins trade with the Bucks. You know, and that's, you know, they're willing to give you a pick 178 to take Lewis, and I'm sure the Jaguars would have to pay some of, you know, some of the money. But to me, that makes the most sense because I just don't know. You know, Mercedes is a, you know, he's been a good guy to deal with, but I just don't know how he'll accept being the blocking tight end who never really goes out and runs routes anymore. I mean, is he going to be happy when, you know, he's getting one target for every five that Julius Thomas is getting, which is how I would think the offense, you know, if it makes sense, that would be the way it would play out. So, you know, my guess is you would try and trade him, get a pick, and hopefully you can, you know, turn that guy into somebody who can help your roster.
Yeah, I get that sentiment. You know, will he be happy? Me personally, man, I guess these players would be glad to not have me as a general manager because I don't care if you're happy. $6.65 million should make you happy. Go out there and, you know, go do what I ask you to do, please. He's caught 43 balls in the last 2 years. I don't know how involved he is in the offense to begin with at this point, so... I get your points, and they're all well taken, and we appreciate the time, Hayes. Good work on that story and all your coverage on the Jags, and you can follow Hayes, of course, on Twitter, at Hayes Carline, HaysCarlyon, just like it sounds. Hayes, thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you so much. Take care.
You got it, buddy. There he goes, Hayes Carline of the Florida Times Union, joining us here on Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Okay, we will come back. We'll take a look at what you posited could be a fair return for Mercedes Lewis. You heard Hayes say pick 178. He'd give you the exact pick number. First pick of the sixth round. There you go. Bring him in. Hey, guess what? You don't think he's going to be happy behind Julius Thomas? He ain't going to catch any passes with Rob Gronkowski up there in New England, but at least I guess they're a perennial playoff team, and maybe that can salve some of the wounds for you. But in that scenario, he's what, the seventh option in the passing game in New England, something along those lines. So, hey, you got a lot of reasons to be happy, and just look at the paycheck that you're drawing every week and the fact that you've been able to play out the entirety of that contract up till now. That was a pretty big dollar deal for you, and haven't given the offensive return in my opinion, that that contract would have dictated. All right, we're going to wrap things up with a look at the fan feedback spotlight coming up. Mike Dempsey, Tyler Devitt here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. All right, your fan feedback spotlight here on Jaguars Today, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Gas prices back on the rise. Maybe time to consider a diesel. Volkswagen, the number one selling diesel car brand in America. And this past year, Volkswagen Golf won North American Car of the Year, and the Volkswagen Golf family won the Motor Trend Car of the Year as well. Just part of the Tom Bush family of dealerships, Tom Bush Volkswagen. Check those guys out online at TomBush.com or visit them on Twitter at Tom Bush Motors. Your fan feedback spotlight today asking you about Mercedes Lewis. What kind of return would you like to see the Jags get? Should they get? We'd all like to see them get as much as possible if they were to trade anybody. But here's some of the response we got on Twitter today. Joshua Zahner, I hope I'm saying your last name right, Josh. Fifth or sixth round draft pick. That's where a lot of people seem to settle with the contract. This is Kyle T. at Kyle Tare on Twitter with that contract currently and a 1 year left on his deal, sixth rounder at best. Matthew Hunter went with a fifth. A lot of that fifth, sixth. Matt Miller said fourth round pick from the Falcons. He would fit their offense well, or even Green Bay. Falcons need a tight end, to be sure. They tried to sign Lance Kendricks away from the Rams and he re-upped with St. Louis. So there's that. Let's see. That's pretty funny. Ocho Fisho said, according to Andrew Brandt, it'd be a ham sandwich. There's a whole thing on Deadspin about how much Andrew Brandt overuses the term a ham sandwich in terms of talking about a trade. That's a ham sandwich trade. You got a fourth rounder and a ham sandwich for him, or whatever the case may be. That's that amused me nonetheless. Cristiano said, not sure, but after what he got for Gabbert, I think Dave Caldwell would win that trade too. Good point. I take anything you could. And people say, you know, if you get a sixth for Gabbert, you should get more for Mercedes. NFL's funny, man. They see a big, strong-arm young quarterback. And at the time, you had Jim Harbaugh out there in San Francisco, and they're thinking, hey, we can do something with this that the Jags were unable to do with this commodity. It's only a sixth-round pick, so he was quarterback, former top-10 pick. We all knew how bad he was, but that is the way teams think. Eric Harris, I think, is a little optimistic. He said, I think a third and a fifth would be fair. Really just a good blocker. A second would be lucky. No, a second would be absurd. No one's giving you, I don't think anybody's giving you a single pick as high as a third. If they got a fourth round pick for Mercedes Lewis at this point, it'd probably be a big win. Here we go. Oh, Will. He's going the Andrew Brandt route. He went with a six rounder and a ham and cheese sandwich. At least he threw the cheese in on top. That ups the value a little bit more there. Got a few more ham sandwich references along the way. Maybe a fourth or fifth round pick, says Clarence, and on and on and on it goes. So it's kind of the range where people are looking. Probably happy with a fifth and take a sixth. And keep in mind, again, I know Hayes said he thinks he'll be dealt and cited the fact that he didn't think he'd be happy here becoming the secondary option. Well, I don't care. You know, the only question is his unhappiness going to create a cancerous situation in the locker room? Is it going to affect his play on the field? I mean, the guy's caught 43 balls in the last 2 years. How much of a factor in this offense has he been to begin with? Missing 13 games in that period of time. When you look at it from that standpoint, you're paying him $6.65 million. You think, well, maybe he doesn't have a future with the team. The thing that offsets that a little bit is the fact that they've won so few games. They've won 7 games in the last 2 years, 9 overall. That's not their fault. The 2-win season's not their fault. But 7 games in the Caldwell-Bradley regime, got to do better this year. Will Mercedes Lewis not being on this roster hurt your ability to win football games? And if so, by what degree? And what is that worth? And that's what you got to factor in. You may be sitting there listening right now saying, well, he's not worth a damn thing. He's not going to impact wins or losses whatsoever. They haven't won any games with him the last couple of years, but in more of a complementary role, you're going to need, again, I thought Alfie Crow brought up a great point. They've done away with the fullback, at least roster-wise now. There's no fullbacks on this team. You're going to go more 2 tight end sets, potentially, you would think, in that scenario. If that's the case, who is your blocking tight end on this football team? There really isn't one that fits that profile. Doesn't mean you can't acquire that guy. You may be able to get an undrafted free agent that you bring in that isn't a particularly flashy playmaker, but does a good job at the point of attack. And that's what you're looking for right now, and a young guy you can develop and pay peanuts comparatively to a guy like Mercedes Lewis. A quick draft note, draft speculation note. It's all speculation until the 30th of April. But Dane Brugger, NFLDraftScout.com, CBS Sports, we've had him on and all across 1010XL frequently, one of the go-to guys out there in the so-called draft community, put out a mock draft today in which he's got Todd Gurley, the Georgia running back, going 14th overall to the Miami Dolphins. Haven't seen that particular connection made prior to that. And he's got Melvin Gordon, as many have speculated, going to the San Diego Chargers, either Gordon or Gurley going to San Diego. And Tyler, what did Dane tweet out? He tweeted out something to the effect of an NFL scout told him that you can expect two running backs to go in the top 20 picks, right?
Yeah, here's the exact wording on the tweet. An NFL scouting director told me he thinks that two running backs will be drafted in the top 20 of this year's draft, and then he gave a link to his mock draft, too.
Well, and I would, too, if I were Dane. And it got us to go look at it, where he's got two guys going in the top 20. In fact, two in the top 17. I saw a mock, can't remember who put it out. Oh, it might have been, was it Will Brinson? I'm looking at all the CBS. It was Will Brinson of CBS, who's actually got three first-round running backs. He's got Gurley going to San Diego. He's got Melvin Gordon going to Cincinnati, which doesn't make a ton of sense to me. I mean, they drafted Jeremy Hill last year and Gio Bernard the year before, so I'm not quite sure. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm reading it wrong. He had Dallas trading into that pick, so he's actually got Dallas selecting it, Cincinnati's original pick there. So he's got Gurley going to San Diego, then he has Gordon going to Dallas in a trade up with the Bengals, and then he's got Jay Ajayi out of Boise State going to the Arizona Cardinals at 24. You know, hey, who knows? It's not out of the realm of possibility whatsoever. And I'll say this, this movement of Gurley up these mock draft boards, I think backs up my point that, you know, I don't think it's likely that the Jags, unless they accumulate more picks by trading down, take the 36th selection and trade back into the first round and get a second first round pick this year based on just the picks that they have right now. But if a guy like Todd Gurley were for some reason sliding down to that range, that it made it palatable that you could come up for one additional pick, be it even if it's next year's second. Todd Gurley's that kind of guy that I would do that kind of deal for. I don't think he's going to slide to that point. I don't think he's going to be on the board. I think he'll be long gone at that point. So it's a moot point. But nevertheless, we only have 3.5 weeks until all the speculation turns into concrete fact and evidence. All right, again, wrapping up today. Tomorrow, Lauren Brooks tells us she's going to pull herself away. She's preparing for the par 3 contest, I think, right now at Augusta. But nevertheless, she's going to pull herself away and come in for the one-year anniversary of Jaguars Today. Our original producer will join us in studio tomorrow. Tony will be back after licking his wounds for the Braves, sending up the surrender flag before the season even started. Hopefully his depression will have cleared, and he'll be back with us tomorrow morning and talking plenty more Jags and NFL football with you as well. Thanks to Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato today. Happy anniversary to my wonderful wife, Heather. 25 years ago, she was nice enough to kiss me, and that is our official anniversary of when we started dating 25 years ago today, April 6th, a quarter of a century. I'm just an old dude, man, is all I am. All right, thanks to Wild West Guns and Gold. They bring you the show every Monday. Hello to my nieces who are out there listening, Sydney, Katie, and Ashley. Yeah, your parents are going to be like, why don't you give us a shout-out? Well, it's because you're not my nieces. So I know they're listening right now, and we're going to go out to lunch this afternoon. So, ha-ha. All right, coming up, XL Primetime, Joe C. Hacker and T-Wig. Stick around for that. I'm Mike Dempsey saying goodbye for Jaguars Today.